Well, good morning, Peace family. It's good to be with you again. And you are our family. You helped. I told the Bible class today, you not only helped raise our kids, you helped raise me and Jamie as parents and young adults. And we just thank you so much. And if you don't know who I am, it's because I haven't been here in a while. We served here for 10 years on staff, and we left 6 years ago this month, almost to the day. Pretty close. I accidentally told the first service 7 years, so will you tell them I was wrong? It's been six, not seven. And it's great to be back with you. My wife and I now lead a ministry called Breathe Life Ministries. If you want to know anything about that, we have a table out back. But what I want to talk to you about this morning is this gospel message, which is so close to my heart, this story. And I think it says a lot about who Jesus is and the compelling nature of who he was to the people who were given eyes to see him as the Christ, as the living Son of God. And it's a fishing story, which is always fun. It reminds me of my grandfather. My grandpa Wishman was a welder, and he would fix things for farmers. And they would pay him, sometimes with money, sometimes with eggs, pieces of meat from the animals they butchered. But his favorite thing to get paid with was keys to the property so he could go fishing. And so he had this key ring that had like 40 or 50 keys on it, and he knew what every key went to, a piece of property. And there was one property that when I was growing up, we went to all the time, Hansus Ponds. Hansus Ponds were three ponds. The top one was a muddy pond that the cows got in when it was hot in the summer. The middle pond was the large pond, and we would go out in tubes in that pond and go fishing for bass. And the bottom pond, I don't know, we never really went down to it very much, so I don't know what was down there. In the middle pond, up in the very neck of it, we would catch little bluegill when we first got there, and we would cut them in half, and we'd put them on this gigantic rod with these huge hooks. We'd put them in the top muddy pond, and we'd lay a rock or a big piece of wood over that rod, and then we'd go fishing in the middle pond all morning. And when we came back at lunchtime, we'd go up and see what the top one had caught, oftentimes turtles, but we were always looking for the gigantic catfish. And one day, we went back up there, and the line was taut, and we got it, and we started pulling, and we could see this huge catfish, but the problem was it had rolled around a whole bunch of wood down in the water. And we were trying to get it, and we were pulling the whole piece of wood, and all of a sudden, the line snapped, and my grandfather probably said something I can't say in church. And all of a sudden, the little cork came up. And then, you've seen Jaws, when they attach the big floats to Jaws, all of a sudden, this cork starts moving around in the water. And my grandfather's like, the cork's still on there. Puts on his waders. He goes out in the water, and he starts chasing this cork around. And he'd chase it, and it would disappear, and it'd go underwater, and it'd pop back up. And he's chasing it all over. He gets it up in the shallows, and he just reaches down, and he just throws this 8-pound catfish onto the shore. And he looks at me, and he's like, I am so glad that you are here, because nobody would believe this fish story. But I saw it with my own two eyes. So Jesus has a fish story with his disciples today, and I'm sure this is a story that Peter and James and John told over and over again in the years after. But the miracle of this story is actually not the fish. And I think we're going to see that as we go through it. So Jesus is teaching people, and he decides to get in a boat to kind of get out away from the crowd so he can project his voice back to them. And he's teaching them, and at some point, he turns to Peter and says, hey, Peter, I want you to put out into deep water and let down your nets. And really, Jesus is telling him everything wrong at this point. Peter's a fisherman. This is his job. And they know they fish at night. That's when they would fish. And you typically follow where the bait fish go. The big fish are chasing the bait fish. They tend to try and chase them up into the shallows, and that's where you would catch them. So Jesus, in the middle of the day, says, go into the deep water and let down your nets. And Peter's like, Lord, we've fished all night, and we didn't catch anything at the right time and the right way to fish, and you're telling us to do it all in the wrong way. But because it's you, we'll go do it. And suddenly, they have two boats full of fish to the point that they're sinking. And they pull them up to shore. And this is where I believe the miracle happens. You have men who make their livelihood off of fishing. They have had their banner day. These boats are not full of fish, they're full of cash. They could support themselves and their families for a long time off of this. But Luke tells us they left it all and they followed him. Why? Why would these men who just had one of the best days they've ever had at their job leave all of that to follow Jesus? Well, if you read through Luke's gospel, they've already encountered somebody who's different than they've seen before. At his baptism, they hear a voice from heaven proclaim, "This is my son whom I love, with you I am well pleased." And then they see this dove that's something different descending on Jesus. Luke tells us it's the Holy Spirit. They go with him to Nazareth, his hometown, and they watch him stand up in the synagogue and teach from the book of Isaiah. And then he tells the people there, this Messiah that Isaiah is talking about, I'm him, I'm the one, I'm here. And they're so angered, they want to kill him. They're rushing him out to the brow of the cliff outside of town to throw him off of it. And Jesus walks right through them and walks away. They go on to another synagogue in Capernaum, not far away, and a man with a demon is there. And Jesus drives the demon out of the man, and the people realize that he has authority like they've never seen before. Then Peter and the disciples go back to his house, and his mother-in-law is there, and his mother-in-law is sick with a fever, and Jesus drives the fever out of her, and people start bringing people who are sick and demon-possessed from all over, and he's healing all of them. The disciples have been witnessing this day in and day out. So that when two boats are filled with fish, and their thought could be, we've struck it rich, we've got everything we need, they didn't hesitate a moment to turn their back on it. And that's the miracle. Jesus invites his disciples to a promise-based life rather than a life that is built on what you can just see with your physical eyes. He invites them into a life where they follow him, and it's going to lead to some crazy places. And so he says these words to them, "Don't be afraid." Because Peter's first response is, "I'm not worthy of this." And he says, "Peter, don't be afraid. Because from now on, you're not going to fish for fish anymore. You're going to fish for men." And those words are really important if you know how the story goes for the disciples. Don't be afraid. So Peter's afraid of Jesus and his power, and Jesus is like, "You don't need to fear me. I'm going to lead you to places that you can't imagine." So what is Peter afraid of? And what are you afraid of? What are the things that would keep you from following Jesus? What are the things that would make you, like, if I'm Peter, I'm thinking, this is it. This is, God gave me this amazing gift of fish. I can support my family for this long. Think of what we can do if we had Jesus with us every time we fish. You start calculating. That's what I would do. 5 years out, 10 years out. Oh my goodness. We're set. But that's actually a fear-based thing, because it's all about controlling my own destiny, controlling where I'm going. And Jesus says, "I've got something better than that for you. So don't be afraid." And so I want to invite you all to take this prayer with you into your week. Jesus, would you show me yourself in a way that overcomes my fear and creates a courageous faith in me? Jesus, would you show me yourself in a way that overcomes my fears and creates a courageous faith in me? It's kind of a scary prayer to pray. But who else do you want leading you into your fears? If you think about it, these same disciples. You know how the story goes. You know where it ends up. It ends up in a garden where these same disciples fall asleep, even as Jesus requests that they stay up with him while he prays. They're there when a crowd comes to arrest Jesus, and Peter pulls out a sword, which Jesus, by the way, had told them not too long before that they might want to go get a sword. And he pulls it out, and he cuts off the ear of one of the people who comes to arrest Jesus. And Jesus tells him to put away the sword and then heals the man. Can you imagine what Peter must be feeling? Confused, maybe a little hurt. Like, Jesus, what are you doing? Jesus, just hours before, tells Peter, you're going to deny me three times. And Jesus says, I'm not going to deny you. I'm going to go to death with you if I need to. And then when he tries to, Jesus stops him, and then hours later, Peter denies him. The following of Jesus leads Peter into the deepest, darkest parts of his own self, his deepest fears. But Jesus leads him there not to humiliate him, not to fill him full of shame, but to show him that he defeats his fears at those very moments. From now on, you will catch men, Peter, because they're going to know when they see you. They're going to know that you were that guy, and then you became this guy, the one who stands in front of the very people who put me to death, and now you're not afraid. I think often when we think of this story, we think of it as a place where it turns because now the disciples become fishers of men and they go out and they proclaim the kingdom and the good news. And they do start to do that. But I think the bigger thing is the kingdom is proclaimed through what happens inside of them. That they're still sinful men. They're still men who struggle with following Jesus. And when they fall flat on their face, Jesus is there to pick them back up. And it's in that moment that their lives become light to other people. And so I ask you today, what are you afraid of? That Jesus is looking at you and saying, don't be afraid. Follow me. Are you afraid of your future? Are you afraid of a certain relationship? Are you afraid of something you've done and being found out? Are you afraid of something you haven't done that you know people are expecting you to do or at least feel like they do? Jesus stands before you today and says, don't be afraid. Let me walk into that fear with you. Because this is what I will do to your fear. Your fear is no longer against you, it's against me. And I will defeat it. For I am your Savior and I am your Messiah. And so Jesus doesn't suddenly turn these guys' lives around and they never have a problem. Everything's parties and water being turned into wine at every turn. I think the greatest miracle that happens as he walks them out of that place is that he walks them directly into the things they're most afraid of being alone, of being rejected, of being weak. And he walks right to the point where it actually happens. He doesn't keep it from happening, but then when it does happen, he picks them back up and he makes them strong. And people around them see it and they say, something's different about that guy. God wants to do the same thing with your life. He wants to shine light through the broken areas of your life, through the weak areas of your life. And so he asks you today, don't be afraid. Follow me. Your fears are no longer against you. They're against me. And I will destroy them. And as I do, I will remake you into a new person. And your life will shine to the people around you. Amen. Father God, I pray that you would fill each of us with your Son, Jesus Christ, and with his Spirit. That you would give us courage and courageous faith to follow him into the things that we fear most, so that as you bring us to the other side, we will shine brightly to the people around us. May it be so in your time and in your will. Amen.